Well, brothers and sisters, I certainly standing here with some very, very special feeling. You may say a kind of mixed feeling, an indescribable feeling that I do not have often. The brothers decided to have this retreat, which is actually an annual affair, and I was with you for the last two times up there in Angel's Camp. I remember that those times, and actually it was the very first time that we came over 2 years ago that eventually led to my involvement with the churches in Northern California, like I have been in this past year or so. So although this was an annual meeting that we were going to have for the working saints, it was a very, very special to me in my consideration. Of course, I have been quite busy doing many other things, traveling and so on. But this conference or this retreat in these months is the main thing that occupied my being. I don't know why, but it was so. And you may say that, well, if that is the case, then surely you know what's going to happen and what we're going to do this weekend or what I'm going to talk about. Well, quite the opposite. After all these much prayer and deliberation in the Lord's presence on behalf of this time, up till tonight standing here, I'm still not sure what to say. That's why I say it is rather unusual. We don't have outlines. Actually, I have tons of outlines that I can just pull out any set, and it would be quite appropriate for the time with you. In fact, there was one or two sets that I prepared just for this weekend, and I just scratched them off. The helper helped me to put together those outlines. But eventually I decided to put them aside. Because I feel even those good outlines, they are really marvelous and quite wonderful, is inadequate to meet or match the kind of feeling that is in the depth of my being. Now, this third time I'm here to meet with the working saints here in Northern California is different from the last two. That I can say. Because the last two, when we had that, I was coming up here mainly just for those retreats. But this time, this weekend, is different because in this year, 2015, I've been coming up here very much. Once, sometimes twice a month. I am in the Bay Area, Northern California, with the saints here more than I was with my home church in Irvine. I don't see the saints even as much as I see the saints there, as much as I see the saints, the brothers up here. I spend many more hours with the co-workers and the leading brothers here than the brothers down in my own church. I have been absent in the elders' meeting for I don't know how long down there. It's almost Irvine is not my church anymore. I have never visited in a regular basis any region or place like the bear. And I have never given myself to coordinate and to labor with brothers, with the Church of the Saints, in an area like this, including Southern California. Well, maybe that could be a bit of an exaggeration, because I'm down there and I've been there for decades. But at least in recent memory, that is the case. So you ask, what are we going to do? We don't know what you're going to talk about. Now you say even you don't know what you're going to talk about. So we should just stare at each other. How are we going to spend this time? Well, I think what I would do is to open up myself to you and looking to you to open yourself to me. And together, we would all open ourselves to the Spirit, to the Lord, as to what He wants to say, what He wants to touch, what He wants to do this weekend. Earlier in my prayer, sitting there, I even pray with some kind of a thought that this weekend may be even a historic time. Well, surely, according to the statistics that the brother told me when I arrived at the camp this afternoon, that we have basically taken over this park, right? This camp. We took over the whole thing. Every bed is pretty much taken. That there are full-time, meaning, I suppose, people who at least sleep for one night, if not two, single and married, there would be actually up to 450 brothers and sisters. And there would be actually another 100 who have registered as part-timers who would come for the day or for a meeting without staying here. So you consider, the first time I came up here, it was 200 saints at the Angel's Camp. The second time, 300. Oh, I have been here three times. Oh. The first two times, 200. The second time, 300. And this time, if we count, those numbers may count some of the ones who are not full-time or part-time. So this time, we're up to 550. Now, according to some earlier statistics, they are all told somewhere around 800 or 900 saints in this category. Now, by this category, let me make clear. We used to say young working saints, and we used to say age 25 to 40 in the last few years. Then I told the brothers, let's expand the years to 45, I think. Because next month, or the month after, there's going to be a special conference with Brother Ron Kangas visiting here for saints from 50, they say, to infinity. 50 and above. And I don't know what, there's a statistics what that number is. About 800 of such saints. And below, which is you here, would be, I think if you just go from 25 to 50, let's say, I mean, just to make it so we don't leave people out, from 50, 45 to 50, where do they fit, right? So let's say if we go from 25 to 50, and I do have a serious proposal this way, with much thought. That is not to call us, this group, the young working saints. You know, I got rid of the word young from young adults. I think I successfully got rid of it. Because that's how it started 6, 7, or 8 years ago with this burden for the so-called young adults. So I banished this word young. So just adults, which is actually the right word. You are adults. You're not young adults anymore. Right? The high schoolers, I mean college age, they are the young adults. Young adult starts from 18. Alright? So, you're adults. And so, likewise, I want to get rid of the word young from working saints. No need to say young working saints. Just working saints. Age 25 to 50. And tonight, in my beginning word, I'm going to convince you of that scripturally. Based on the word of God. Now, so, this group of brothers and sisters from age 25 to 50 is the main burden of the Lord's move today in his recovery. And here we are in Northern California, in the churches here, it is the same way. So you may not have that kind of valuation. You may not have that kind of thought that you belong in the most crucial age bracket or group of saints in the church life. But this is something I am going to tell you. So tonight, I like to start with sharing with you or talking to you about who you are. In God's economy, present day economy, and in God's present-day move, according to both the Old and the New Testaments. Now, in the Old Testament, attention was paid in three books specifically to the age of God's people, the children of Israel. Number one, Exodus. Number two, it would be Leviticus. And number three, the book of Numbers, which we're going to focus on this evening. These three books mention the ages and the valuation according to age. But these three books approach this matter of age differently. In Exodus, they're all supposed to make an offering to God for the tabernacle. And everyone, regardless of age, have to pay that or make that offering of half a shekel. Now, it doesn't matter whether you are male or female or what age you're in, it is the same half shekel that you have to offer for the tabernacle. Well, the point here is that in Exodus, it is a book whose theme or subject is redemption. You know, the children of Israel being redeemed out of Egypt into the exiting Egypt into the wilderness, hence the name Exodus. And there, as the redeemed ones, their valuation as a soul, each soul before God, it weighs the same. No one is more important than the other. In God's eyes, every soul is the same. Every redeemed one is worth half a shekel. We're all one and the same, no difference. So this is the book of Exodus. Then we have the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is not a book of redemption. Leviticus is a book of the priesthood's consecration and offering. All the offerings, all the ordinances that pertains to the offerings that the priests made. So that is a book of consecration. That is a book of offering. When it comes to this matter of offering to God, there is a difference between male and female. It's also a difference from age to age. There are actually four categories of ages. Number one, from age 20 to 60. Number two, from age 5 to 20. And then age, what? Am I correct or am I missing something here? Let me take a look. Well, anyway, the point here is that there are four age brackets, and according to their age, here we go, 20 to 60, did I say that? And then from age 5 to 20, I was right, okay? And number three, from 1 month old to 5 years old. And then lastly, from those who are from age 60 and upwards, okay? These are the four categories. And as you may have guessed, that age from 20 to 60 commanded the highest valuation according to the shekels, the number of shekels. So, and of course, even between 20 and 60, there would be the male and the female. So there are some who are poorer, some who are richer in terms of their valuation that the priest would do. All right. Now, what is the point here? The point here is that whereas in redemption, we're all even. We're all the same. But when it comes to our consecration, offering something to God, there is a difference. There's a difference. Ranging from those who are spiritually strong, mature, experienced, you know, and so on and so forth, to those who are poorer or weaker or less mature, those who are young, so on and so forth. All right. So there's a difference there, a difference in our devotion, difference in our consecration, difference in our condition before God. And so the evaluation is also different. I think we would agree with this. This is the fact. This is our experience in the church life. We are not valued the same way according to our condition. Now, we must come to Numbers. In Numbers, it is a book, particularly on service, not just on consecration and devotion, surely not just on redemption, but on what? But on their service. Now, I must tell you that this service that is covered in the book of Numbers is a word that involves warfare. So it says in chapter 1, verse 3, I can just read it to you. This is when Jehovah commanded Moses to collect the people and then begin to number them by their families and fathers' households, etc. So from 20 years old and upward, they will go forth for military service. So this word military service has the meaning of the priestly service. The priestly service. So the fighting of the war is included here, as well as the work of the priests. What is the work of the priests here? Well, that actually includes the work of the Levites, here. So they are all the tribe of Levi, and then in the tribe of Levi, you have the house of Aaron, and that household is the priestly household. But that tribe with that household, they are the ones whose job was to take care of the tabernacle, to take care of the maintenance of God's tabernacle with all the things in it, including all the tabernacle itself, all the material, all the supports, and then with all the utensils that are within this tabernacle, all the furniture or furnishings, such as the brass altar in the outer court, such as the laver, such as the lampstand. By the way, don't think that lampstand is like this little lampstand here. The lampstand is huge. The showbread or table or the facebread table, the golden incense altar, the ark itself, of course, and all the utensils that are needed for the priests to make their offerings and so on and so forth. Then, of course, I mentioned already with the tabernacle itself, including the pillars, the sockets, the boards, the bars, the screen, the veils, the coverings of every kind. All of these things were handled or maintained by the tribe of Levites. And the Levites were those who were under the oversight of the house of Aaron, because Aaron and his sons were the priests. They were the priests. They actually encamped on the east side, the opening of the what? Of this tabernacle. And they took care of it. When they have to go up, decamp and start marching forward, they have to what? They have to be the one who put these things together, wrap them, carry them. And when they have to stop, they are the ones who unpack and those who can erect the tabernacle again. Everything was done by these people. So here, brothers and sisters, firstly, you have all the children of Israel being numbered from 20 and upwards. These are the ones who are numbered for the military service to fight. And this fighting belongs to all the children of Israel. Whatever tribe you're in, you're numbered, you're counted. 20 and up, you can go to fight. Fight for what? Fight for not only themselves, fight for God's testimony. The battle for God's testimony on the earth. And then you have what? You have the priests, and then also what? And then also Levites. And these are the ones who would also be numbered in a particular way, because theirs is, to them belong, the service of the tabernacle and the maintenance of this tabernacle. So we need to pay attention to them. This is talking about service now. About service now. From 30 to 50 of this age group, all right, these are the ones who are given the primary duty of the handling and the maintenance of the tabernacle and all the services associated with that, from 30 to 50. And then those from 25 to 30, 25 to 30, are those who were learning, or to use the present day word, apprenticing or interning to what? To become the official serving ones. That's from age 25 to 30. Okay? 25 to 30, and then to 30 to 50. And then those who are age 50 and above, they would retire, it says. They would retire. However, not to retire to do nothing, but to retire, their job now is to minister to their brothers. Most likely, those who are interning. So they become the coaches. They became the mentors of these age group from 25 to 30, to train these young, upcoming young ones, so that by age 30, they know what they were doing and they can serve. They can serve, in a proper kind of a way. So here you have 25 to 30, 30 to 50, and then 50 to what? Infinity, right? So our way of numbering the saints, or according to age, is quite scriptural, according to the book of Numbers, right? We have those who are 25 to 50, which includes some apprentices and some official serving ones. We have also from 50 and above, those who are there to what? To perfect, to minister, to mentor, to train these younger ones to enter into their official service. Now, this weekend, with all of you, our attention is not on those who are 50 and above. Surely our attention is on those who are 25 to 50. And according to the book of Numbers, this exactly what? This age group is exactly what God had ordained, who God had ordained to take care of, to be responsible for the most important task among God's people in the Old Testament economy. In among God's people, there is the centerpiece is the tabernacle. the center of all of God's children was the tabernacle in the wilderness. And all those 12 tribes array themselves according to God's arrangement around the tabernacle, facing the tabernacle, because the tabernacle is God's house. The tabernacle is where God is to present himself with the children of Israel. The tabernacle is where the ark of the testimony is. Hence, the tabernacle is called the tabernacle of the testimony. And we know that word, testimony. That word, testimony, refers to the testimony of God. That ark of the testimony is where God is in the Old Testament. It is where God met with his people through the high priest. This is where God, at least temporarily, dwell in this rather portable household that is they carried around in the wilderness. No matter, this is the center. This is the place of worship. This is the place where God would meet with man. This is the place where God's people would come and contact God. This is the place where all the offerings that God has ordained were what? Processed and offered up for God's enjoyment and satisfaction. This is the place, the unique place, where God would speak to his people through the breastplate that is on the high priest and through the Urim and Thummim that is on their shoulder. This is the place. And this is the place where the children of Israel will what? Would serve God in worship to him. And this is the place where God would come to commune with his people, to fellowship with his people, to converse with his people, to make his mind known to his people. That Ark of the Testimony actually represents God himself, the very God who is in the heavens, this great God who made the universe, now the God of Israel. This very God have chosen a little spot on the earth, a little rather ugly looking structure with porpoise skin. How beautiful did it look? Not very beautiful, comely at all. Yet he has chosen this little tent in this vast wilderness, a sea of sand, where his children was for 40 years. And this is it. This place is the center of the universe. And here, God has selected some, ordained some, who would spend their whole life, their whole being, all their time, all their learning, to take care of this, to take care of this place. This is God's home. This is God's portable address in the desert. This is God's dwelling place. Even in the New Jerusalem, that built up glorious city, permanent, solid, is still called the tabernacle of God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And he will dwell with them, and be their God. I tell you, brothers and sisters, you want to know what's happening in the universe? You come to the tabernacle. You want to meet God? You come to the tabernacle. You want to know what God's heartbeat is? You come to the tabernacle. You want to render Him the worship? You come to the tabernacle. You want to receive His grace and blessing, His mercies, you come to the tabernacle. It's all in this tabernacle. Everything that is of any kind of meaning at all in this universe has to do with this tabernacle. And this group of people, of Levites, and the house of Aaron, of this particular age group, is given that privilege, that honor. And you know what happened, because the tribe of Levites, you know how they were chosen. After all the rebellion, they were the ones who stood up to what? Pull out their sword and kill their own brethren. And because of their absoluteness, stand on God's side, God gave them this particular privilege. And that is to handle all the things related to what is closest to God's heart. And that is His dwelling place. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what Numbers is talking about when it comes to the age. Now, dear saints, I think just this much fellowship, you should get the point already, right? The point is, that's the Old Testament picture. Now we're in the New Testament reality. There is still a testimony of God on the earth. It's the testimony of Jesus, for which, along with the Word of God, the old Apostle John was banished, exiled to the island of Patmos. That testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy in the book of Revelation. Oh, brothers and sisters, there's nothing more important on this earth than that testimony. That testimony that testifies God. That testimony that declares God on the earth. That testimony that what? That expresses God in a godless place. In a fallen, godless earth. God wants a testimony of Himself. And He needs some to manage it, to take care of it, to maintain it. You know, I came to many, many camps, and I say, I've been here just for a few hours, this is the best camp I've ever been to. This, what do you call it? Redwood Christian camp. You know, in Southern California, we're in the throes of purchasing a $8 million camp. The best camp there was in Southern California that we found. Miraculously for sale. And now we're about to close escrow next month. And we want to make that, I have the vision to make that camp a blending center. And right now it can hold less than 300. And at the upper limit, we want to push it to 500, which is this size, right here. So we've been considering what to do with it. We hired the best architects for this sort of facility. Now, this afternoon I came here, I said, I'm going to bring my whole team up here. And if they allow me to sit down with the managers here, the groundskeepers here, and the supervisor here, whatever, I want to download every bit of knowledge they have because this camp is so well run. I mean, the cleanliness, the orderliness, the grounds, the food, the kitchen, everything. And also the various kinds of accommodation from the more rustic, right, more for the kids, all the way for people like me, with my own bathroom. Thank the Lord for the brothers. Special arrangement to that lodge, the administrative lodge, to this room right here. I tell you, if this would be my standard model for the camp down south, for Oakland down in the south, down south. Well, why am I saying this? I'm saying this, listen, that all this like this, you better believe me, there's a lot of people doing a lot of work maintaining this to keep it at this high standard. You see? How about God? How about God's house, which is the church today? What about that? I like to ask, who is maintaining that house? Who is keeping that testimony? Who cares for God's testimony on this earth? Who cares? Whose heart beats with God's? And these people, these Levites, these priests, they are the Old Testament full-time. Do you know this? Do you know this? They are exactly that. The Old Testament full time. That's them. Now, of course, God had wanted a nation of priests. All of those 12 tribes, all of those million or two people, all should have been priests, but they failed. They failed. So God was forced to call out a smaller number of people, and that would be the tribe of Levi. And they would be the select group to represent all of the children of Israel to serve God. That's the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, you have the reality. God wants all of His children, every believer, every Christian, to function, right? As a priest, so that we would be a church that is a priesthood. Everyone is in that priesthood. To what? To take care of God's testimony and to carry out the divine worship. The worship that the Father is still seeking to do. The worship that will bring Him the satisfaction and the enjoyment. And also, not only so, but that household, that dwelling place for His rest. So here, when we talk about this tabernacle, we're talking about a few things that are important to God. Number one, His expression, that is His testimony. Number two, His worship, the worship that He desired, hence the offering. And number three, what? His dwelling, His resting place, a place where He can lay His head on this earth. And there's one more thing that we cannot forget. And that is, through this, a way to defeat his foes, his enemies, and to establish this kingdom on the earth. Hence the warfare. These four things, my brothers and sisters, is what God is still need today in his New Testament economy. Except his people today is no longer just Israel, but the true Israel. Am I right? The real household of faith, comprised of all his New Testament believers. This testimony today is the church, his body, his temple, the new man. That is his testimony today. This testimony, this is also his dwelling place, his household. This place is also the place where the New Testament worship takes place. You know, brothers and sisters, real service is not to do something for God. Real service is our worship to God. God desires worship. And you cannot worship anywhere you want. You have to worship here in this place, in spirit and reality, in this place, which is what? Which is the church. Now, brothers and sisters, I say this much. And so I must come to you now. I like you all to identify with this. This is tonight not just a teaching, not just a doctrine, or not just some explanation of types of the Old Testament. This picture is and must be fulfilled in our time, in this age, and especially here we are in the Lord's recovery, which is a recovery of all things lost, the truth, the life, the reality, all these things even that I'm talking about, the testimony is lost. These 2,000 years, lost, as if God had no place to dwell, no real New Testament worship. No testimony, as if he retrieved and retreated back to the heavens. In its place, a worldly, human, religious organization. So-called church, the Church of Rome, the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church. Brothers and sisters, we do have to see this as what? As a background. Now, the Lord's recovery is to recover all these things. The reality of all these things. And that's why we're here in the church life. That's why we're here in the Lord's recovery today. I'd like to lift you up, lift all of us up from our daily affairs, from our daily lives, from our common occupation, from our jobs, from our families, from our marriages, all these legitimate things, nothing wrong. But tonight I like to lift up your eyes from all these things and take a look at the testimony of God in all these respects. God has a need. This is not about you or about me. This is about God. And today, in his New Testament economy, that need is still there. And he must work out to meet something to meet that need. And so the recovery was raised up for that reason, for that purpose. Almost 100 years ago in China, which was a continuation of his recovery work in the Western world, especially in Europe, in the last 500 years or so. Item by item, reality by reality, truth by truth, things were recovered until now. Until now. This is the recovery of the kingdom life. This is the recovery of the church life. This is the recovery of the body life. This is the recovery of the testimony of God on the earth. That testimony of God and man mingled and blended together as one. This testimony is what will deal the enemy the death blow. This testimony is what will recapture the earth for him. This testimony, brothers and sisters, is what will bring him back. This testimony is the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's why we're here. And that's why we're in the church life. And now, this testimony needs maintenance, needs care, needs a group of people that would what? That would live for it. That would live unto it. They may do many things, but their orientation, their goal, their purpose is nothing but this. They are full time, and I don't mean just the job dropping kind. I mean the job doing kind, the money making type. There's a call, there's a need, there's an ordination here. For what? For such full-timers. Who are full-time in heart, in spirit, in their attitude, in their consecration. They live for nothing but this. They breathe for this. They are alive for this. And according to Numbers, although all of God's children are useful, by the way, I did not even mention to you, there are even those who are 1 month old, they are mentioned here, in a rather strange way. 1 month old. You say 1 month old. Goodness, 1 month old. What can a 1 month old do? Well, they are mentioned here. They're mentioned as useful ones. 1 month old. And it says the 1 month old's job is to keep the tabernacle. My goodness. They couldn't even crawl, much less do something, but they counted. They counted. God needs every age. As long as you breathe, as long as you regenerate, as long as you're saved, even though you're 1 month old, you have a job. You have a role, even to keep the tabernacle. I tell you today, if in Northern California churches, we have 1,000 1-month-old saints, new believers, you better believe this testimony is kept. They're doing nothing. They're just there. Diaper needs to be changed, and needs to be fed by milk, but they're there, 1,000 of them. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm very burdened. There would be really 1,000. We now have 20, Lord's Day count, 20, 800, and saints who come every week, every month, once a month, over 3,000. I know over 3,000. But, dear saints, I'm not happy with 3,000. I pray in 10 years' time there will be 6,000 saints in Northern California. Yes or no? That would not be too many, would it? Only 6,000. Maybe at least we should have 7,000, because there were 7,000 who did not bow their knees to Baal. So to have 1,000 new ones will fortify the churches, will strengthen the testimony of the churches. Believe me. All right. Even these ones are useful. But I would like to tell you, the most crucial part are the 25 to 50, which is you. And this is why I'm so extraordinarily burdened for weekend lives, to spend some time with you in the Lord's presence about these most serious things in this universe. Dear brothers and sisters, I like to take a look at yourself. All right? That's who you are. That's who you are. You fall squarely in that age bracket. There's no one else that is in that age bracket. Actually, there are 800 or 900 of them, which is about double the number who are attending here. And I look to the Lord, next year there will be 700 here, right? Amen? Why? Not just to fill up this camp. This camp actually cannot have 700. But you know what, brothers and sisters? It's so that all of this age group would rise up and bear their responsibility in the church life before God to maintain the Lord's here in Northern California. There's a calling. There is a calling, brothers and sisters, to all of you. And I feel there's a new calling. A new calling. We all might have been called here, there, now, then. But this weekend, there is a collective calling. There's a special calling of this age group at this particular time to this task, to this service, to this work. and that calling is to you. I pray very much, and I know many saints are praying. You know, you're in the 100-day prayer right now, right? Are we almost at the halfway point? We're right around there. 49 days. And that's warfare, by the way. Everyone 20 years old and up can pray those prayers, can fight that battle. But, as it were, this particular heart of the work belongs to you. Belongs to you. You're not too young. You're not too old. You're right at that age. Right at that age to bear this most important burden in God's economy. Saints, there's a lot within me. There's a lot within me. For Northern California, for North America, particularly, that as we had that conference a year ago, that it's time for a renewal, for a revival, and ending up in a restoration, in the Lord's recovery in North America. I believe it. I'm burdened for it, and I'm laboring for it, along with the brothers. And for some reason, the Lord saw fit, at least in my case, to be engaged with the churches and the brothers here in Northern California. And that allows me to get into a lot of things and see a lot of things. And the more got into the things, the more I was in fellowship with the brothers, the more I pray and consider, the more I felt it is something of the Lord to begin to do something, starting here in Northern California or the Bay Area. There's something here of the Lord's doing. I travel here, I travel there, and I see the same need. But I come back to Northern California, because there is something of the Lord's move. With what? With the number of churches, 30 to 40 churches, with the number of saints, 3,000 or so. With all the, what I call, assets that the Lord has prepared in Northern California. And not the least, with this 800 to 1,000 of working saints. Now that is not the case everywhere. In other parts of this country. And I talked to the brothers about this because this Silicon Valley, this is employment center, this is the tech center, this, that, and the other. People are coming here, including our own saints, to work. Am I right? This is the place. Great metropolitan area of the country. This place is one of the main concentration of schools, high institution of learning, universities. This place has one of the longest history, if not the longest history, of the Lord's recovery in USA, in North America, that being the church in San Francisco. This place having been through various storms over the past decades, but it remains standing here with many faithful saints, 50 and above. And now my feeling is all things are ready. All things are ready. The renewal must begin. The revival must begin. And saints, I speak to you, yes, in this very, very open way. On the one hand, we need all ages for the Lord's testimony. We need all ages in the church life. Everyone is useful, from the 1-1 to the most senior ones. But brothers and sisters, there I say again, the core of this service, of this testimony, must be borne by you. Now. In the New Testament, I shouldn't take too long, you have the same picture without the mentioning of age, but the principle is there, and that is in 1 John. Where the apostle wrote to 3 categories of people. Number 1, the fathers. Number 2, the young men. And number 3, the little children. The fathers referring to the senior ones, the older ones, the mature ones. The children obviously refer to the young people, the little ones, the young ones. Then you have the young men. Then you say, how old are the young men? I certainly dare not say I'm a young man, even though I wish I can say it. I know I'm not. But I would say young man. I would say young man. 25 to 50. 50, yes, I did say. 25 to 50. At age 50, me, some years ago, exactly on my 50th year, I acquired what the Chinese call the 50th shoulder. The Chinese have something called it. At age 50, you acquire it. And that year, it started exactly that year, maybe around my birthday. And it hurts. It's not the tennis elbow. It's none of those things. It just comes to you when you're 50. It just hits you square between the eyes. And since that time, life has not been the same for me. Screw after screw become loose. This organ, it's that faculty. If it's this screw, you tighten it, then another screw starts to fall off. If it's not the back, it's the foot. So I freely admit, willingly admit, I'm not a young man anymore. As much I wish I want to be, as much I claim my spirit is young, I'm not a young man anymore. But before 50, I was a young man. I was a young man. 25 to 50. That's you. That's you. The advance of the Lord's testimony, of his move today, depends on you. Squarely depends on you. So the call is for you, this bracket, this group, this category of saints, to respond to this call. To rise up and with a fresh devotion, a fresh dedication, a fresh specific consecration, as a person in that age group, as only a person in that age group is qualified to do that consecration, that particular consecration that even I cannot make, but you can. All that the Lord's work in you up to this point, His grace, His love, His mercy, that has flowed to you so freely, maybe from the womb of your mother in some cases, or as a child in the church life, salvation, the gospel coming to you in His great grace as a sinner, His regenerating you, meaning His placing His life in you, His person, Himself, in you. His arranging of all your circumstances in life until now. His preserving your breath, your health. His affording you the life that you can live, that comfort. He's sustaining you, supporting you, even with your material needs. He's giving you a wife, a spouse, a husband, children, your house. All this grace, all this mercy that He has given to you free. What is that for? What is that for? If it's not for Him and for His need, then what is that? So tonight, I just, on the Lord's behalf, if I may say so, just as I did in Champaign, I remember I was in Champaign. Some of you were there, right? I said, well, I'm here representing the jealous God to claim you young people. Every one of you for Him. And today I'm here not with young people, those kind of young people, but with your age group. I like to stand here also to claim you for Himself, for His testimony in the church life, wherever you may be. All the blessings, can you count them? Can you count them that the Lord has given to you? The intellect He gave you, the smarts that He gave you, the abilities to do things, the capacities to think, to do things, the capacity to love, to care, to feel. All the things that the Lord has given to us, brothers and sisters, is for one thing, and that is for His testimony. Christ and the church. So, I would just follow the Apostle Paul to beseech you. To beseech you with the many mercies of God. Because I don't know what else to do. That you would present yourself a living sacrifice. By the presentation of your bodies, by the renewing of your mind, and by setting your spirit aflame, burning, boiling, your entire tripartite being to prove His perfect will. His perfect will. And that is the will to gain this testimony, resulting in So tonight is the first night, the first word. I just cannot wait until Sunday. I want you now. God wants you now. You have to respond. You have to recall, recount all that the Lord has done in you and for you, including His dying on the cross, laying down His soul life for us. You need to respond to Him in this particular way, not in a general way. I would say not those who have been to FTTA, not even just as going to FTTA in that way, but in this new way. In this new way. To take care of the Lord's testimony on the earth today. The Lord's recovery needs you. You may not know it. You may not think that way. You may actually somewhat despise yourself and your function and your usefulness. You may even consider, well, I'm just kind of lukewarm. I'm a little bit backslidden. I'm dragged by somebody to this weekend. I'm not qualified. No, I like to tell you, you are. You are. And I also would like to tell you, there's a season for everything. There's a time for everything. And I tell you, the times that we're living in today is unusual. With all that is going on in the world, around the globe, these are unusual times. And the Lord has a particular work to do in the churches. And His need is for men and women, for saints, in this age group, who would make themselves available, who would answer this call, who would respond to Him, and who would reconsecrate in this particular way. These ones are not just full-timers, these priests, these Levites, that replace all of God's weakened and defeated people. these ones are really the overcomers. The call is to overcome. To be a normal, living, vital, serving, and functioning saint in the church life. We'll talk about how. We'll talk about many other things later on. But tonight I feel this is the Lord's call. How do you feel, brother? And I feel here, I see what the Lord wants to do. And that is in the Bay Area, in Northern California, to form an army. To form an army of this age group. A corporate army of those from 25 to 50 who rise up as one man in their respective churches to become that factor, you know, that factor in his move in the Bay Area today. Oh my, oh my. 800, 900, 1,000. Many of you will serve, give yourself to serve, to the church life. Still doing a job. And that's wonderful. That's probably most of you. You're doing a job, but that's not your real job. That job is to support you to do the real one. This is our real employment. This is our real vocation. There may be some of you. The Lord may even call you at this age group to really serve full time. I don't know. And I should not be that surprised if the Lord would move in such a gracious way. We do have some brothers who have served full time since they've been through FTTA. Until now, they are now in their 30s and 40s, and most likely they will continue to serve into their 50s and onwards. That should not be a surprise. That should not be so unusual. Why not? You say, who will take care of our lives? Who will take care of our children? Who will take care of our finances and support? Do we not believe in the Lord? And I don't mean in an irresponsible way, believe in the Lord. Live by faith. In saying that in a flippant way. No, no, I'm not. I really mean, do we believe in Him? Is this His recovery? Is this His church? And is this His work? If it is, and we're called to it, we have a part in it, be sure the one who called is the one who is ultimately responsible. He's already responsible over you now, sitting there. If he is not, I don't know whether you'll be sitting there. Dear saints, I pour out my heart. Very first meeting, I pour out my heart. Now, what are you to do? I hope this weekend will be special in that we really sanctify ourselves to His Word, okay? To His speaking, to His moving. And the best way to do that is to spend much time this weekend in His presence, especially in prayer. I would give you a particular charge or advice, encouragement, and that is to stay with the Lord. Just to stay with Him. Don't just go in and out. And don't just spend 5 minutes. Take time. There are a lot of beautiful grounds here. I don't even see the buildings. They're all hidden behind trees. Beautiful redwoods. You just walk this land. You just walk around. You stay with it. You take this word and you stay with it. For yourself, for your spouse, for your marriage, for your family, you stay with it. You stay with it. He is the one who calls. And when he comes, when he speaks, when he touches, respond and say, Lord, here am I. Just say, Lord, here am I. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be anxious. You don't need to plan anything. You just respond. That's all he wants from each one of us. What do you want, Lord? Here am I. Amen. I chose long time ago when the Lord came and called me. I can tell you when the Lord called me. It was age 17 in the month of March in a place in the Far East called Hong Kong. The same year that I came to the United States in September. That March, which is 6 months prior, the Lord came and called. And he did not just stop with that call. Since then, he continued his call in an incessant way. In other words, once he called, the Lord will never change his mind. He is faithful to his own calling. And I thank the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord for his grace, that though I'm just as weak as you, as unwilling as you, dragging my feet as you, but again and again, that call came. And I praise the Lord that I made that decision to follow him, to serve him until now, and for the rest of my life. No regrets whatsoever. A lot of difficulties, a lot of challenges, including my family, parents. But once I saw the Lord's testimony in this way, that was it. No turning back. And I wasted, to use Brother Nee's famous message, why this waste? You know, the breaking of the alabaster box. Why this waste? And I don't mean it's just me, brothers in this room. So many dear saints in the Lord's recovery in the past 90 years wasted their lives. Not only on the Lord, but on the Lord's body. That is on the whole Christ, including his testimony. God's testimony is Christ. And Christ's testimony is the church. Therefore, God's great testimony is Christ and the church. And this is the testimony of his recovery. Brothers and sisters, I'm still speaking. I'm still standing here. I still am not sitting down because this is not a message. This is a call. This is a cry. To the 25 to 50-year-old saints all over Northern California, I make this call on behalf of the Lord today. Now, because God's move is today, God's work is now, not later. I think the brothers sitting up here can testify how many great things the Lord did even within this year in our midst. Am I right? Just to tell you one thing, and that is today, the churches in Northern California has never been this one. Am I right, brothers? You may not know it. You may not realize it. The co-workers, the leading brothers. I don't mean we're 100% perfect. I don't mean we have arrived. But I can testify. This alone is God's grace. This alone is a sign of the blessings to come. There's something that the Lord is doing in a particular way. You ask the brothers. They will testify. And so, dear saints, yet this ship cannot move until you rise. The leading brothers, the co-workers, they have their job. They have their duties. They still have to keep forging onwards. There's still much fellowship to be had. To bring Northern California on in a brand new way, in a new day, in a new season. That's what we're looking at. The testimony in Northern California that we have never witnessed. A growth and increase in numbers, in life, in strength. The church life. Well, you are the next group, next to the leading brothers and the co-workers. You are the next group that is key to seeing this happen. Okay? I'm glad no one is sleeping. I can see, even though a long drive, a hard week, Friday night, we're here. Amen? Okay, I stop here. I would like all of us to take between now and 9:30 to have yet another 5 minutes of prayer. Don't think this too long with someone next to you according to this fellowship. Amen.